Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke course. But it's no host bar, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. What is up, ladies and gentlemen? We are back with another episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. I'm Wee2Deep. With me, as always, is DJ Wavy D. And we are on the road to Yeet-O-Mania. But before we get there, we gotta do Let's Get Cooking first. And the special announcement, I think, was last Friday that Triple H will headline this year's Hall of Fame class. And it got me thinking, who should fill out the rest of the class? And so that's going to be Let's Get Cooking. And so, as always, I'll let Wavy D go first. Who's the remaining members of your class?
So, I got two avenues we can go. One avenue is I gave it a whole theme, but it might be a little controversial. But I gave it a theme. And then I got one that's a little more traditional. It'll get the okay from the peoples. So the first one, the controversial one, is I say we just throw all the McMahons in. So, you know, we theme it out. Triple H, Stephanie, Shane, Vince, Linda. We throw them all in. We get it over with. You know, eventually right. the McMahons are going to go in sooner or later. You know, they freaking build it from the ground up. They're no longer involved. I mean, you know, no longer involved, like, as far as pen and paper, no longer involved. So, surround Triple H with his family, throw him over as a family. Call it a day. Now, that probably won't get the pass. That won't get the okay. Just call it controversy around them right now. So, the traditional way I was going to go is Triple H headlines it. We finally throw in Miss Elizabeth.
Okay.
All right. Long time. She deserves to be in there. I don't get why hers is so tragic. I know she, like, died young because of, like, alcohol and painkillers. You know, that was just the way of the rest of her life back then, sadly. But I don't get why her name is so controversial as far as being in the Hall of Fame.
I don't get it. It might be, like, the family doesn't want anything to do with it. I know, like, Owen Hart won't ever go in because his wife won't ever let him go in. So, I don't know if that's what it is, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
And then for a tag team, like, Demolition still deserves to go in. For, like, the celebrities kind of wing, I'll do Jim Johnson.
Okay.
All right, you know, the man who's behind all of the, or most of the iconic wrestling theme songs that you've heard. Throughout your childhood and today. And one more name that I would throw in there if we can't get Miss Elizabeth as far as the women. Victoria is overdue for the Hall of Fame. There was another woman, but she's still, like, semi-retired. I don't know if she's quite retired yet. Maybe she's on your list. But I'll say Victoria.
Yep. So I went the more traditional way. So typically we have one tag team, we have the big headliner, we have, like, two normal, like, singles wrestlers, the woman, and then, like, sometimes we get a celebrity, not every year. So going down that road, I do agree, in the tag team part, it has to be Demolition. I have a feeling it's going to be the Hardys, but it should be Demolition. It should be Demolition, absolutely. The two other sort of, like, singles superstars, I have Psycho Sid because he just recently passed, and I think they're just going to put him in. I know a lot of people think Bray Wyatt's going. I know this is offensive, and I know this is like blasphemy to the Wyatt fans. He did nothing in his career that puts him in the Hall of Fame. What they did for him last year with mentioning him sort of with his family, that I think that's all he really needs, you know. So I have Umaga going in, especially with The Rock sort of in charge without necessarily being in charge. I think he's going to really push that forward. Victoria was my woman. And there's a push for Sydney Lauper to go in. I don't get that one. I don't. Miss Elizabeth, I agree with, should be in. Victoria is long overdue. For some reason, you know, if they wanted to, you know, Gail Kim is always available. But I think Victoria is probably the best one to put in. And then my celebrity, to sort of round out the Triple H here, I got Motorhead. And so I also saw a post the other day where someone was trying to get Limp Bizkit into the Hall of Fame because of the Undertaker themes, which I agree with. I think that would be fun. I don't know necessarily if you put them in there, but I wouldn't hate it. But Motorhead definitely, you know, you had the Evolution theme song, two of Triple H's theme songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're definitely part of the WWE universe, so they definitely should be in. So that's how I booked this class.
The woman who's like kind of like semi-retired, not sure she's quite done, that definitely deserves a spot is Mickie James.
Mickie James, yeah. Yeah, she'll get in eventually. I don't know if it's this year, but
other lower names, not lower, but lower as far as like not Triple H level, but right. Stars like William Regal.
Regal, yeah.
I think A-Train for everything he's done behind the scenes. Matt yeah. Bloom, yeah. As far as like a trainer and everything he's done in NXT. I'm a little bit bigger on Bray Wyatt, even though he wasn't my favorite superstar. I feel there's other wrestlers who have less accolades than him or in the Hall of Fame. I think his accolades mixed in with like how good of a character he was and like how memorable of a character, I think he'll get in. Because like, you know, not to throw shade at any of these people, but you got people like Coco Beware and like Sergeant Slaughter and, you know, some of these other guys. You know, even fucking Bray Wyatt's dad,
mm-hmm.
Mike Rotunda. Like, I feel like Bray probably had a better career than his dad did, personally. Okay. So, I mean, you know, I feel like down the line, probably bring him in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate that. Of course, you know, coming down the line, we Batista one of these years is going to get in.
Oh, yeah, we have no problem with headliners. Headliners, because right. It's going to be our childhood now.
Yeah. Those are Batista, headliners. Batista, Cena, whenever Orton hangs up the boots, he's going in. Punk eventually down the line.
Rollins, Roman.
The Rock's already gone in, right? Nope. I always forget if The Rock's in or not.
He's not, because he's not officially retired yet. He said he's not going to go in until he's officially retired.
Yeah, so down the line, he'll be in. You know, in the tag team division, we'll get the Hardy soon. We'll get when the Usos retire, they'll go in. New Day will definitely go in. Evolution at some point will make Triple H a three-time and Ric Flair a three-time Hall of Famer. So we got a lot of headliners to look forward to. It's once you get down to some of these other
Michael Cole.
Yeah, Michael Cole eventually.
Is Jim Ross in the Hall of Fame yet?
I think he is. If I remember correctly,
if Jim Ross was. You got Jim Ross.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if Taz has gone in yet, but I think Taz will probably go in eventually, as either a commentator or. I mean, he was a decent wrestler.
Most of his success was in ECW, but
right.
But now ECW's. So how would they do that now? Because, you know, especially because WWE owns ECW and all of their history now. Mm-hmm. Like, do you kind of put some of these ECW guys in there? Do you include that that career?
I would.
Because Tommy Dreamer's not in yet, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Tommy Dreamer.
I really felt, I'll be honest with you, I felt like they missed the an opportunity last year being in Philly to put a lot of those ECW guys in the Hall of Fame. You have Heyman headline it, and then just have all of his boys, you know, Dreamer, Sabu, Sandman, all the people who made ECW what ECW was, just put them in there.
Rhino.
Yeah. So there's that. So now we'll get talking about the last week of wrestling. We'll start with SmackDown. Is there anything from the Go Home Show SmackDown that caught your eye?
That shit was boring.
Yeah.
Shit was boring. I can't even recall. Maybe a Jacob Fatu promo. I don't know. That shit was boring.
Yeah, that was one of the worst probably TV episodes of wrestling I've seen in a while. And I think a lot of the problem is just there's not enough going on SmackDown right now. And we were trying to play it safe for Royal Rumble. I think it'll pick up business now that we got some feuds building. But yeah, not much to talk about with SmackDown. So we'll go straight to Rumble, and then we'll talk about Raw last night. I already gave my Rumble thoughts, and there's a good reason I did. I mentioned on Saturday night after Rumble when I did my episode that I do it that way. Because if I wait till Tuesday, my entire opinion of the event changes, and it has. So I'm going to let you give your raw, unedited thoughts of the show, and then I'll respond.
All right. I gave y'all a little warning in the Discord, all right? That I'm coming here. I want all the smoke. All right. So, Wavy D's opinion on the Royal Rumble show. The Women's Royal Rumble was near perfection. It was like an 85% perfect Royal Rumble. Okay. The first 85% of it was going perfect. Okay. And the parts that I thought were brought it down. Was, you know, Charlotte getting like the freaking pyro or whatever. You know, I know it's her return. Yeah. Like, guess what? It was a lot of people's returns. She wasn't even the only one who returned from injury that night. Anyway, whatever. So Charlotte returns. Yeah. We knew she was returning. I thought she returned at a decent spot in the Rumble, so I wasn't mad at that. And then fucking Charlotte winning was not... I did not like it at all. Okay, I'll be blunt. I thought Triple H learned his lesson with Cody Rhodes when he won the first time. When Cody Rhodes returned from the pectoral injury after being out for the year, and then he comes back, you know, wins the Rumble. A lot of fans in their eyes said that Cody wasn't worthy of getting that win that first year because he got. He was out for the whole year, and he had to build his character back up and everything. So Charlotte was kind of on the same boat. I know Cody didn't win the first year, so hopefully Charlotte doesn't win this year. But I thought Triple H learned his lesson just from having to win the Rumble in the first place. And Charlotte, along as well as John Cena, are superstars who don't need the Royal Rumble victory to get a spot at WrestleMania. I'm still of the belief that you use it to push somebody or someone who's not quite someone who's over with the fans, but who hasn't been booked to kind of like line them up for a title shot right away at Mania. This is kind of like how you book them into a spot to get to the world title. And I felt the women's Royal Rumble should win to someone, and honestly, probably 27 of the other women in that match. My person I was rooting for was Io Sky, but that I'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, I hated that Nikki Bella was the 30th person in the Royal Rumble. You know, I'm not a huge fan of her. I don't think most of the wrestling world are. I know she has her fans. She has her total Bella fans, and some people still look fondly upon her. I don't think Nikki can hang with the women these days. All right. I mean, to put it blunt. But it, so I think it would be no problem having Nikki in the Rumble if you replaced her with Alexa Bliss, if you flip their spots. So Nikki Bella came in at like 23 or whatever it was, and Alexa Bliss came in at 30. Alexa Bliss got the pop of the night, okay, when she returns. Now imagine that being the number 30 spot and how big of a pop that would have been. So I think if you tweak that around and had someone else win the women's match, it would have gone from like an 85% to literally like an A++.
Right.
Like, and any retort before I move on to the rest of the card?
Yeah, so let's sit here on the women's for a minute. My question that I have for your Charlotte comment is, outside of Io Sky, because I understand your argument for Io Sky, but I think they have other plans to get her into the Mania match.
Yeah, I do too. After watching Monday Night Raw.
Right. So I get the initial response of, oh, Charlotte. But here, so my first question is can you explain this lesson Triple H is supposed to have learned? Because so, I don't quite understand what lesson he was supposed to learn from Cody.
So if you can recall back, like, what was it, three years ago now, mm-hmm. when Cody got the pectoral tear.
Right.
He was out for the year. Came mm-hmm. back at WrestleMania. They hyped it all up. He's going to be back at the Royal Rumble. They hyped it all up. And he came back at like 30 and won mm-hmm. the match. Mm-hmm. And if you recall, you know, the fan, some fans were happy, but a lot of fans thought, oh, they're just kind of gifting, Cody the Mania spot, the main event spot. Right. They didn't think Cody earned it enough to get
so,
that.
So let me, I get that. I understand, I guess, that point of view. My retort to that would be, the entire purpose of having him win Rumble was to have him lose at Mania to build the full year-long story of him getting back to that moment.
Well, no, I think Cody would have won at Mania if the fans didn't turn on him a little bit.
I don't think so.
After he got that Royal Rumble win, fans turned a little bit. And then he had to build himself back up.
So you mentioned, and so this is where our sort of viewpoints differ on the Rumble. You mentioned that you feel that Rumble should be the place where you take a rising star and strap the rocket to him.
Similar to Money in the Bank.
Right. So that's what I think Triple H does, is that's going to be that gimmick that puts the strap on the young star like Tiffany Stratton, is Money in the Bank. But when you have that gimmick already, using Royal Rumble for the same gimmick of putting the strap on the young rising star, it ruins.
Well, no, it's not the young rising star. It's the superstar who's a main eventer but doesn't have a clear path to the title.
I feel that the issue with that is Royal Rumble and Money in the Bank are the same gimmick, essentially. And so you have to make them feel special. I view Royal Rumble as you have to make your title match WrestleMania main event worthy. So I have an issue with how we book WrestleMania in the terms that everyone always sort of views that both men's world titles have to main event. I don't think that that's fair. I think night one should be for either the men's or the women's. If we're going to have a men's and a women's Royal Rumble, the women should get a main event spot.
Well, I think they should drop the part saying main event WrestleMania.
I think
they should just say title match at WrestleMania.
That would ultimately be the best way to fix this. So I guess my critique would be with Charlotte is, how else does Charlotte build her character?
The same thing she said when she was talking on Raw last night, that she's a flair. She literally can she's the top of the top. She can get whatever she wants. Yada yada yada. Just like how she came in and she got in the Royal Rumble, how she got the Royal Rumble win. Like Flair's name, she's established herself to the point where she's like a Cena or she's like a Taker, where she cannot wrestle all year and get put on the Mania card. She's that name.
Right, but so she's been out for a year and a half now, if you want her to spend an entire year to get back to the title picture, I
would have been okay with Charlotte going to the chamber, winning chamber.
I think we got to be realistic here. Charlotte Flair's not fighting the rest in Elimination Chamber. But I also think that we have to use Royal Rumble for what it is. It's a prop. It's a prop to tell a story. And so the story is Charlotte Flair is back after a year and a half, and she wins her return match. We have to – the problem is I think a lot of people look at wrestling and they say, oh, well, it's nepotism. But that's not what the story is on the TV.
I mean, I don't think I'm the only one who feels this way about Charlotte. If you look at her promo on Raw last night,
you're not the only one. But the problem is because wrestling fans who understand the backstage politics of wrestling, the online wrestling fandom, doesn't like Charlotte Flair because of the nepotism. But when we're looking at storytelling, the backstage drama shouldn't play a part in the storytelling, unless that's the story in and of itself, in a way like what we're about to do with Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre, where the backstage drama of supposedly Drew McIntyre walking out and cussing and all of it's a work. It's the same thing we did with Seth Rollins when Punk returned, and everyone's being worked right now. But I think we have to take the emotional, I don't like Charlotte Flair because she gets everything handed to her, away from the circumstance of whether she won Royal Rumble or whether she won Elimination Chamber. The match was always going to be Charlotte Flair versus Tiffany Stratton. I personally don't see a difference.
I think there's other ways you can get to that match without the Royal Rumble. And like I feel like a lot of fans felt the same way. Like Charlotte was getting booed live at Raw last night. She was telling she's you know she's like,
supposed to get booed. She's coming back. No,
she wasn't getting like heel booed. She was getting that go away boo.
So the problem, people try to make distinctions of boos, but when I'm Triple H and I'm sitting in Gorilla and I'm sending a heel to the ring, a boo is a boo. A reaction is a reaction.
Well, you could tell it was getting to Charlotte though. She felt a little pissed off because she was like, guys.
Well, I think
it's been a hard year. I've been trying to get back here to wrestle in front of you guys. I miss you guys. And they're like, get out of here.
Well, I think that's the character. She's trying to be appealing, but then ultimately turn on the fans.
I don't know. I really don't think the live fans wanted her. I mean, outside of Io Sky, I would have liked maybe a surprise, like how they had Roxanne Perez was the Iron Woman and almost won the match. I feel like that would have been dope.
So the problem
I feel like maybe Jordynne Grace would have been dope.
I don't. So the problem with this is the IWC, whatever you want to call it, we've all been predicting Tiffany Stratton versus Charlotte Flair ever since Tiffany Stratton won Money in the Bank. For the last 6 months, we've been saying this is going to be the Mania match. And so they actually do it. And now we're complaining about it. I don't personally, for me, Elimination Chamber and Royal Rumble, they're gimmicks. So the results essentially are you're going to WrestleMania to get one or the other champion. Whether Charlotte Flair won Rumble or Charlotte Flair won Elimination Chamber, I don't see a difference.
Well, also, it's also because SmackDown, the roster itself, is kind of thin. All right. So, you know, and you got the women are over there already typing stories. So, like,
right. So the issue is if Charlotte doesn't win Rumble, you don't get to have her because we don't really know what brand she's associated with.
I mean, the only way this Rumble works out is if she picks Julia.
I don't think they'll have her pick NXT again. Just personally, well,
that's the only way this Rumble works out in retrospect.
I think putting the big name Flair against Tiffany Stratton, I think everyone's fear, and they have the right to have this fear, is she's going to choose Tiffany and she's going to bury Tiffany. But that's not going to happen. I promise you, it's not going to happen. Tiffany Stratton, because she is going to be but it's not. Again, I don't work in what ifs.
I mean, you was predicting what if we get this tag team match at Mania, or you say, you know, John Cena was going to win. You know what I'm saying? It's just the opposite side of the what if.
So what happens is now is we have reality that Charlotte Flair won. So it's not a what if anymore. And we know she's facing Tiffany Stratton. And the reality of the situation is Tiffany Stratton is about to be pushed to the moon.
That's a prediction, though. The other prediction is Charlotte beats Tiffany at WrestleMania. There's two sides to the prediction coin.
There's nothing in the story that tells me that Charlotte Flair is winning. Using the empirical data we have in front of us, the way they've saved that cash in for the right moment to where Tiffany Stratton is not in a storyline. She just won the title and Charlotte Flair comes back. They waited for Charlotte Flair to come back at Rumble. They're pushing Tiffany Stratton. That is the empirical data. The other side of this argument is when the last time Charlotte won the Royal Rumble, Vince McMahon was in front of it, and Vince McMahon wanted to make Ric Flair happy. Triple H doesn't care about what Ric Flair wants. I don't think Nick Khan cares what Ric Flair wants. They want to build superstars, and that's what Tiffany Stratton is. And if I'm wrong, we can come back to this and say, okay, I was wrong. Charlotte Flair maybe was a bad choice. But I don't see how Io Sky sells tickets to Royal Rumble or to WrestleMania.
Well, WrestleMania is where some of the bigger wrestling fans – I know celebrities pop out too.
But we also have to understand – so we've had this debate.
The casuals aren't spending like $5,000 on tickets.
And
like,
I get that. But it's not the casuals that we're appealing to. We're appealing to the people who can afford it. So the celebrities.
And the celebrities and the diehards who save up all year.
Right, but the celebrities don't give two fucks about Io Sky. They care about Charlotte Flair. They care about Jey Uso.
The celebrities are going to go no matter what. The celebrities fill up the first five rows. Or the ground seats. The rest of the arena is filled up with the diehard fans.
And I agree. But I'm looking from a marketing and a promotion, right? If I'm Quavo, I'm not promoting Io Sky because my fan base doesn't know who that is.
Well, no, I still have Charlotte on the card. I just think they used the wrong plot device to get Charlotte in the Mania card.
I don't think it makes a difference either way. I don't.
I think when it comes to
the match is going to be the match no matter what. And now we can spend Raw with Charlotte maybe teasing Rhea. Now we're going to have Charlotte on NXT tonight. We're going to have Charlotte on Friday Night SmackDown. We're going to stretch this out with who she picks. And ultimately we know it's going to be Tiffany Stratton unless something changes drastically. But we get to have this. Right, if she wins Chamber, we don't get to have this who's Charlotte going to pick. Because we know where Io Sky's brand is. She's on Raw, so she more than likely is going to pick Rhea Ripley if she wins. Charlotte doesn't have a brand right now.
So if Charlotte could politic her way into winning Royal Rumble, who's to say she can't
politic? I don't think it was politic, though. I think Triple H had a plan to get Tiffany Stratton over.
Are there not other superstars on the roster who can get Tiffy over?
Not the way Charlotte Flair can. Rhea Ripley's in the position Rhea Ripley's in right now because she got the Charlotte Flair robe. Two WrestleManias in 3 years, she faced Charlotte Flair. One where she lost her NXT title, and then the second one where she came over and got revenge and became the Rhea Ripley we know today. And that pushed her into superstardom. Without that Mania match in Mania 39 that stole the show, I don't think Rhea Ripley's where she's at. Because she was mid-card before that. Charlotte Flair's the biggest name in wrestling. So if Tiffany Stratton goes in and she wins that match, she's a superstar. And they put the rocket on her and send her to the moon. But I also don't see how a loss buries her. Because then you can have that's a whole different conversation. But my other thing is to retort this before we move on with the card is the whole Nikki Bella thing. I will say this. I don't think it's as bad as people are making it out to be. I understand there are people who don't like Nikki Bella. I don't think it's all that bad of a situation. Now, if she's not on the Mania card and she just took a spot from someone, okay, again, we could come back to this and be like, ah, probably not the best choice. But I don't know who else you put there.
That would have. I feel like there's plenty of one. No, but also, if you put Alexa Bliss 30th, you get rid of this whole problem.
I can see that. I can see that.
And then say Nikki's new spot was like 23rd or whatever. Shotzi was sitting backstage, wait, you know, in case they needed her.
Shotzi was who Alexa Bliss took the spot from. Because from the reports, the contract wasn't signed till Saturday.
No, they was working you. See, she been signed that. That was a work.
I believe that as well. But Shotzi was there from the reports, and I can only go by what's being reported.
Could have thrown a Kalani Jordan, a Sol Ruka. I mean, I know XT had a lot of women in general, but you could have thrown a Sol Ruka, Kalani Jordan, Lola Vice, I don't know, Electra Lopez. I don't know who you want to throw in. You could have, threw in a Masha Slamovich.
So let me sort of hit you with this one. Nikki Bella has a show on NBC. That she's in right now. That's currently running on Peacock.
What, the bar thingy? The bar karaoke show?
No, she's in a show. I forgot the name of it. It's something different. It's like a reality show. And she is a NBC sort of personality. What if this was NBC Peacock saying, we want Nikki Bella on SmackDown because she draws viewers. She has a name presence. I don't see an issue with her coming back. And I think a lot of this comes into there's still a lot of wrestling fans who don't like her, have never liked her, and they're using that emotion to say, oh, she shouldn't be here, or they're mad that Becky Lynch isn't here, or this fantasy that AJ Lee's ever going to step back in a wrestling ring.
I mean, also, the reason I like Nikki Bella is because she also has the personal life stuff that makes her not a great person. She allegedly accused her husband of beating on her. And then after the text messages came out, it proved that she was the one who was actually doing the abusing.
So, again, at some point you have to keep Nikki Garcia and Nikki Bella as two different people. But
they're not doing it with Vince or with Brock.
So the problem with that is Vince had – there are current people in that situation – who still work for the WWE. Michael Hayes is now dragged into this. So you can't even put Vince McMahon on TV. First off, I think Brock Lesnar is 100% happy where he's at right now. There's a chance we may never see him again. He only came back because of Vince. We're just going to say that. I don't think we need a Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar doesn't need WWE. So if Brock wants to come back, he'll come back. I think the issue with Nikki Bella, and I don't know the details of the case, nor do I really care about it. I think at some point we have to look at it and say, okay, Nikki Garcia has some issues. But that's on the outside of the story. And when Nikki Bella is Nikki Bella in the story. So, for example, Robert Downey Jr., before he became Iron Man, was a druggie who was in jail. I'm not going to use that against him, against his Iron Man performance when he built an entire career out of doing that.
But the druggie hurts himself, not other people.
She hasn't been proven guilty in a court of law, so she's innocent until she's proven guilty.
Yeah, I'm keeping the same energy with Hogan. I'm keeping the same energy with Tessa Blanchard. I was keeping that energy with Enzo until Enzo was proven innocent. Give him another chance. What's his name? Patrick Clark. Give him another chance. All right. So the ones who are proven innocent are the ones who are still blackballed, but the ones who got a shadow still over their head are the ones that are getting second chances. You know, it just
so again, and we don't know the situation with Nikki Bella. Sure, text message. I don't even know half of what's going on with her. I don't really care. She's not a name. Like, I didn't even think she would be there. But she showed up. It is what it is. We'll move on from it. I think some of these people, you mentioned you know, Tessa, we've had this discussion. We're definitely not going to agree on this. The person she allegedly mistreated backstage and called slurs is her best friend now. I think if the person she offended personally forgave her, I think we should give her that second chance. Again, that's a personal decision between the people. If you want to forgive Tessa Blanchard or not, that's between you. But I don't see, again, my whole argument is if this never came out, right? If the text messages never came out that show Nikki Bella was apparently allegedly abusing her husband, does the opinion change?
No, because also the way she bashed WWE when she wasn't a part of them, her and her sister bashing WWE, speaking down WWE. But now, you know, the pockets dry up a little bit.
That's just people are going to do that. Like you expect that from the bit. We can't hold that against her. You know, she had a reason. She probably was trying to get on at AEW. You know, I can't hate her for that. But yeah, I just don't. I think for people to look and say, oh, Nikki Garcia, she has this sort of impending legal case that makes her out to be a bad person. Until she's proven guilty, she's innocent to me, and I don't see an issue with it. But with that, continue with the rest of the card.
Oh, the ladder match. So it was a great ladder match. 4.5 out of 5. I wish it was a little bit longer. I feel like it flew by a little bit, the ladder match. I know it was smack dab between like two World Rumbles, so like it feels short in comparison. I felt like they hit the necessary amount of high spots, which I like ladder matches. I like high spots. I like moves on top of ladders, you know. So I like that stuff. Let's see. Sammy coming out felt a little stupid, but now going into what happened on Monday Night Raw, it makes a little more sense after what happened on Raw. So retrospect, the Sammy part wasn't as bad looking back at it. I thought the right man won. And especially after Monday Night Raw, I think we get Sammy versus KO in Toronto. And I think it might be a series of matches that goes into Mania.
Yeah.
I think Kevin goes over at Toronto. And I think Sammy goes over at Mania.
Yeah. Definitely, 100%.
And then the men's Royal Rumble. The men's Royal Rumble. I felt like there was a lot of stare downs to tease stuff, but then they didn't really interact much physically in the match, so it was like tear down, tease, but not quite do anything. It was too much. Too much edging, not enough blowing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and even in that, you teased a lot of stuff. But some of the people you should have pushed in this, someone like a Jacob Fatu, he gets 4 eliminations and then gets eliminated by the dude who 7 days ago he just beat the shit out of in Braun Strowman, completely nullifying the reason to watch Saturday Night Main Event. Completely just destroys the entire. So, even more to just tell me that, oh, these are just glorified house shows, is the results don't matter to the actual story. I don't know. I think Jacob Fatu should have been treated better. He should have been in like the final 7, but he gets eliminated about halfway through with the stare downs. That leaves a lot of people just laying there doing nothing on the ground. And for the TV audience, it probably doesn't you don't really notice it. But for the 70,000 in the arena, you know, you have 10 minutes of people just laying there doing nothing.
Yeah.
It can get a little bit taxing to just pay attention to.
Jey Uso's over, baby. It's our next Kofi Mania, our next Yeselmania. We're in Yeet-O-Mania, okay? Yeet-Mania in the building. Jey Uso was not on my bingo card of winning the match. Right.
Right.
But I'm happy.
Neither on mine. So on Saturday, I was a little bit irritated. But I was a little bit irritated, I'm going to be completely honest, because I had this entire WrestleMania completely centered around John Cena winning. I thought that they were trying to like not make it too obvious, but still put it in front of us. I knew Punk wasn't going to win. They made him too obvious. So I know a lot of people are mad at Jay. The longer I think about this, the more I think it's definitely the right decision. The number one point is I always talk about like the IWC being hypocritical, and this is another example of it. They complain for years upon years upon years of, well, WWE needs to listen to the fans. So they do, and then they get shit on. And then you wonder why they don't listen to the fans. They should push the, you know, I remember with with Rusev, you had Rusev Day, and everyone was like, oh, they need to push him, and they didn't, right? And people got mad about it. Well, we have something that's 1,000 times more popular than Rusev Day. And probably the biggest, most over moment in the world right now in terms of wrestling. And I would even say it's made its way somewhat into the mainstream. The problem with it is like the whole yeet phase in mainstream is sort of over. And so bringing it back through the narrative of wrestling is, you know, we're about 5 years late like we always are. But I think, you know, Jey Uso, you know, he's even said it, I think, when he was leaving the arena. I think it was one of them backstage, like, videos you had to watch on, like, Tinder or whatever. Or not Tinder, fuck. Twitter. I mean, if you're watching WWE on Tinder, that's a interesting way to watch. But he was like, you know, I carry the culture on my back. I carry the bloodline on my back. Now it's my time to carry the company. You know, Jey Uso's ready. I didn't think he was. I still think the title run is going to be ass. I do. But he's the most over thing. You have to use the momentum.
He's the most over thing since Jeff Hardy in 08.
Yeah. Yeah. He might be the most popular thing in wrestling in the last 10 years. I think this has more steam than Daniel Bryan, because I don't think a lot of people thought Daniel Bryan was necessarily good by himself. I think he needed a whole story around him and why you had to hate the authority. And I think Jey Uso by himself is just sort of popular and fits with the I'm going to say it fits with the demographic that watches wrestling. And this is, you know, you go to an AEW event, white people. It's just white people. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. And then you wonder why there's no culture. I'm just going to be saying there's no culture there. You go to a WWE event and there's that culture, the black culture that he represents, even though, you know, he is Samoan, but he does represent, you know, with Quavo. And you can get that culture involved into wrestling in the mainstream. You have a large popular mainstream culture that will ride behind him. And I think that's important. Looking back at it, I don't see another person in that men's rumble that should have won. Cause I think,
so going into it, I figured Jey Uso would have a similar story to not Charlotte, but a similar story as of, like, you know, having to fight back and grind back to get the title shot against Gunther. I had Jey Uso win the chamber match as well. And I had Punk win the Royal Rumble. Just because Jey Uso's story is all about fighting back and overcoming the odds and grinding to get his shot. And I figure, you know, loses that Royal Rumble. You know, he still has a crowd behind him. He fights to get the chamber. You know, it's his last chance to get at Mania. And, you know, and then he, lo and behold, faces Gunther. And honestly, it was because I also had Cena. I think Cena's story to get the title is a lot longer. I know you predicted him originally to win it at Mania. I think Cena's story is running out of chances to get that final title, where he, because, you know, he said last year how it was going to be his last Rumble, his last Chamber, his last Money in the Bank. Like, he was already telling us all the events he was going to be at. So I had Cena coming close in the Rumble and losing. He's like, dang, I'm running out of chances. What, my next shot is to get the Chamber match. He goes into the Chamber. He's probably like the last two people, loses. He's missing out on another chance. And then Money in the Bank comes around. He loses Money in the Bank. Next is like King of the Ring. He needs to get King of the Ring to get another shot. And it's all about him like running out of chances until finally he gets that chance. Because I think Cena's story is what's going to carry us through the dry part of wrestling after SummerSlam. You know what I'm saying? After SummerSlam, wrestling kind of dies down a little bit. So I think Cena possibly wins King of the Ring, gets the title shot at SummerSlam, and kind of carries the title throughout the second half of the year kind of thing.
Okay. Which I can see. We'll talk about Raw, because my initial thought after was similar to yours, that Cena wasn't going to win Chamber. And I'm still not convinced he does. My initial pick was, well, it's Toronto they're going to be at. It's Canada. Maybe they try to run a similar, because, you know, Triple H is the copy-paste king. So he's running this, like, let's put the popular guy in one title match. Well, let's do the same thing. We have, you know, another very popular face in Sami Zayn. So I initially thought it was Sami Zayn. We're obviously going down a different path with that.
Yeah.
I'm back on, I think, Cena wins Chamber for now. And here's why. Unless the competitors change, and we don't know who the representatives from SmackDown are going to be, we're assuming it's going to be McIntyre and Priest. Sort of thinking ahead, trying to be rational. I agree with the people you put in the Discord. It's going to be Cena. It's going to be Punk. I think Rollins and Logan Paul win the other two.
A star-studded Chamber.
And then we'll get Priest and McIntyre, which in itself writes itself. Priest and McIntyre will take each other out in the Chamber. I think my story and what I think happens is I think Rollins and Punk will beat each other up, and I think that'll help build towards the potential. I think it's the triple threat that's being rumored: Roman, Rollins, and Punk. I know there are people who have differing opinions about that, but I do think that'll be the match. And so the last final two will be Logan Paul versus John Cena. Will be the other two, and I don't think they build a story between the two. They could, because Cena eliminated Logan Paul. So there could be a story there, but you need one of them to win. I think Cena's more likely to win that, though I wouldn't mind Logan Paul. I think that's also why they tease Logan Paul against Gunther.
What if it's Cena versus Logan Paul at Mania?
I just don't see a path of how we get there, because
after Logan Paul got eliminated, I was watching a different YouTube channel. It was Nick Narasena. He was ringside to support Logan Paul because they were doing some stuff after Royal Rumble or whatever. When Logan Paul got thrown out the ring, he's like ringside. He was yelling like, F you, Cena. Like, Cena, I thought you had my back. I thought we were cool. Yeah, yeah, yada. And he's screaming all this stuff as he's leaving ringside. Whether that turns into something else, I don't know. But
The way I look at it now is the key to Mania right now is what the fuck are we doing with CM Punk? He seems to be the person that determines like the rest of the card at this point. Because 100% can admit he might win Chamber. And if he does, then, okay, he'll probably get Cody. But the way I'm looking at this is Cena wins Chamber, and you could still get my original booked Mania match of Cena and Gunther. Because this goes back to the ladder match. At the end of that ladder match, Cody Rhodes came out looking like a bigger heel than Kevin Owens was. I think it may not be a full heel turn. And I've never watched whatever show Homelander's in. I've never watched the show. So I don't know what the sort of dynamic between why they call him Homelander Cody. I don't know that, so I'm not going to sit
here. I mean, a lot of it is just a resemblance with the blonde hair and then his coat and stuff.
So it has nothing to do with the character.
Like so Homelander's character is, you know, he's essentially like a Superman, and if Superman was in real life. Okay. And so outside of like having to uphold this image of perfection for the media, behind the scenes, Homelander is an asshole. Like, he kills people. He does all this. He does all this wild shit. But under the media, he's on his P's and Q's until he kind of realizes he doesn't have to be. So,
So if we go back, because I don't necessarily think that's the path they're going to go down, like Homelander type character. But if we go back, like, I don't even know how many episodes ago, where I sort of booked how you could turn Cody Rhodes heel. And I said, you give him the title, and then you make him realize that the pressure of keeping the title will make him paranoid. That's not exactly the path they're going, but you could go like the pressure of keeping the title and having him lose friends because of it. And it eventually will turn him into the bad guy. You live long enough, you see yourself become the villain type story. I think Cody Rhodes will be the villain, and I think Jey Uso will choose Cody Rhodes. How we get there? That's for Triple H to decide. But I do think we'll get – and here's why. Here's another reason why. We've already seen Jey versus Gunther, and it wasn't a good match at all. And so I don't think on paper Jey Uso versus Gunther screams main event.
But it's all about the moment, though. Remember, it's the moment of Jey winning the title. You know, that's another place where me and you differ. I don't think Jey Uso needs a long, entertaining title reign. I think Jey's a character just for like 2 months, loses it at like King of the Ring or Crown Jewel or whatever.
Which is fine. I'm not a fan of transitional champions. I'm fine with long title runs. But I understand what you're saying. I also think, though, that if you put all this effort in building Jey Uso, because the story for Jey Uso is essentially this. He's had 6 main roster singles title runs or title chances, and he's lost all of them. This is essentially going to be like the 7th lucky number 7, and he's going to win whatever title he goes against. If we're being realistic, more than likely it is going to be Gunther. But I can see a realm where he chooses Cody and then wins the title. And I forgot who it was who sort of booked this out. I think it was B-Master. Kind of perfect, where you could have sort of a circular moment here where Jey wins the title and immediately Roman steps to him and says, now give it back to me. And then you can go back to the start of the bloodline when Roman faced Jey and have that feud where Roman's now trying to get the title and Jey defeats him and sort of retains the title, but then says, well, I'm the tribal chief now.
I feel like we're on the verge of phasing out of the bloodline as far as like being a main story. Of course, we'll still have the dynasty hanging around, but I think we're on the verge of phasing out of the bloodline and kind of moving past it.
Yeah, but you need that full circle moment. Because the start of the bloodline, the first feud, once Roman became... You know, once he became champion, that first feud that really started the bloodline was him against Jey. Sort of beating him into submission. So you need that full circle story of Jey now sort of surpassing Roman in popularity and becoming champion, and then Jey sort of finally finishing off Roman. I think this is the type of long-term storytelling that AEW wishes they had. And I think you have to you can finish that this year by having Jey win the title from Cody, Roman go straight after Jey, Jey beating Roman, say, at SummerSlam, and then Roman sort of having literally nothing left. Because at that point, you can then have Paul Heyman turn on him.
Another reason I think Jay goes for Gunther, I was still on the CM Punk gets Cody wave, because I know they're rumoring the triple threat match. I just think CM Punk is the odd man out, and he doesn't really have any business in that match because he already beat Seth. He put that to bed. He already beat him. I know Seth is a hater. He can't get over it, but CM Punk beat him. And CM Punk and Roman, they don't really have necessarily a beef at this point. I know, like, he told he says like a favor from Paul or whatever, but I necessarily, you know, I think this is the perfect chance to finally get Roman versus Seth, put the whole Shield stuff to bed, kind of get, you know, get that out the way, get those two to finally have their one-on-one match.
But Punk does have, if we're doing put the Shield stuff to bed, CM Punk was the one that created the Shield. So that can be part of the storyline. And the favor could be Punk. You know, you talked about Cena trying to, you know, running out of chances. What if it's CM Punk running out of chances to get to the main event of Mania? And I talked about, you know, Gunther doesn't scream main event. I'm just sorry. And so Cena versus Gunther doesn't have to be main event. And so you can have Jay versus Cody main event night two, have Seth versus Roman, because that's a much bigger match from a name standpoint, main event night one, and Punk come in and use that favor and say, look, I want in. And Paul, this is my favor. Do whatever it takes to get me into this match. Roman doesn't have to agree with it. Seth doesn't have to agree with it. I want in. Make it happen, Paul. You make it happen. I think that's the story. You know, he loses Chamber because of Seth Rollins, initiating a reason for him to go after Rollins again. And so I think that's the story that we'll head in there. But let's talk about Raw. I thought it was a decent episode of Raw. It wasn't anything like spectacular, but it definitely cleared up a lot of some of the questions we may have had leaving Rumble. I will say this. I'm not a fan of Cena just automatically getting a spot in Chamber. I'll just be personally honest with that. I feel like he should have qualified his way in. But
I mean, he did you watch his post-show promo thingy?
I get it. But at the same time, he could say, I'm entering the qualifying matches to get into Chamber. That's the next chance I have.
He's like, yo, I gave so much of this business. I'm bearing some of the fruits of my labor.
Which is fine. And I understand why you put him there. You want the big name there. But just have him fucking qualified. Just put him in a match against fucking Dominic Mysterio. and have him actually, like, because we want to sit and talk about, like, Charlotte Flair gets handed everything. In that same vein, I don't hear anyone complaining about Cena just randomly getting handed a spot in Elimination Chamber while everyone else has to qualify. Because if that's the chance, so I think we should be super, you know, logical in this. And the six people in Elimination Chamber should be the last six people eliminated in the Chamber match or in the Royal Rumble match. So you take two person who finished second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. Put them in the Chamber because they were the next closest to winning. That's how I would do it. First off, it makes eliminations matter.
And Cena's post-show promo, he took some shots at Charlotte too. I
don't necessarily care about all of that, but I just, yeah, I'm just personally, I'm just not a big fan of that because that does make it seem like Cena's being handed this. I think if Cena could just come in, like I said, it doesn't have to be like a hard, long match. It could literally just be, you know, Tozawa coming out saying, hey, I didn't get a chance in Rumble. I want a spot to qualify for Chamber, and having Cena be his opponent and Cena squashing him in 3 seconds. And it could have been that easy. I'm not a big fan of just being like, ah, Cena's automatically in here. Doesn't have to do anything to get into it. I just don't think it looks good. Outside of that, Charlotte gave a promo. You sort of mentioned.
Where the fans let her know.
But like I said,
we fuck with you right now.
They've never fought with Charlotte, though. I don't know what people would have expected.
They weren't even giving her woos. They weren't even going woo. They were like, "Nah, fuck out of here. We're not playing your games right now."
Which is fine. That's the exact reaction WWE wants.
Well, no, even when she was a heel, she was getting her woos.
I think a lot of that is, and I get it was the live crowd, but I don't necessarily think it was everyone in the live crowd. I think there's a small section of the fan base that sees her as the Nepo baby that they don't understand storytelling. They don't understand what we're doing here. And they have a reason to be fearful about maybe Charlotte beating Tiffany. I get it. But if we're being realistic, there's a 5% chance Charlotte wins that match. There's no chance, realistically, that Charlotte beats Tiffany Stratton. I don't see that happening. I'm trying to think of what else happened.
Penta beat Kaiser. I think Kaiser jumped him when Butch or Pete Dunne came out.
Yeah. I'm not quite certain where that leads. We'll see where that happens. I know we had New Day came out, had a match. Mm-hmm. What do you think about their new presentation? They finally got new music and new.
Yeah, I like the new music. Yeah,
I like it. I think it fits them very well. I want to make this clear though to the people who are making a big deal about Jim Johnson, he didn't produce the song. Def Rebel clearly produced that song. The Netflix what the fuck are they called? The captions, closed captioning, probably wasn't made aware that they were issuing a new song, and they put the title of the old one. You literally just have to look up the song name and realize that that song was from like 2012, so that they titled. But anyway, it was clearly a Def Rebel song because there was a New Day at the top of the fucking track that, you know, the producer mark that they leave in every one of their songs, which is another thing I want to talk about with the Rumble. And then we'll move on to the questions. Def Rebel needs to go because there were a lot of superstars, Finn Balor being the biggest one that I can remember in the Rumble, where the crowd should have popped for him, but they had no idea who the fuck they were.
Well, I guess they debuted his song at the Rumble.
Yeah, which is bad in and of itself.
I was like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I thought it was Malakai Black for a second. Like, I didn't know who
right,
it was.
Right, right.
And then the Titantron didn't help either.
Yeah. But I do think there's a lot of music where that Def Rebel, it sounds, all of it sounds pretty much the same. And so there's a lot of people who... you don't know who it is until they show up.
I felt this year was better than last year.
For a little bit. I think really the big one that I have to complain about is Finn. And I don't really necessarily think it's Def Rebel's fault. I mean, why would you give him a new song to debut at the Rumble, of all places?
And also, there's a lot of NXT girls, so a lot of people probably didn't know their music just right. Because they're NXT.
Right. So we'll leave this real quick, but to leave that, who was your MVP of the last week of wrestling?
For the men, probably Jey Uso.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, say he took his loss, he's still pushing it with the fans. He got the Rumble win. He's over as can be, and I think his future's bright. For the women, my MVP, I don't know who my MVP for the women are. I feel My least MVP, my least favorite is Lyra Valkyria. I feel like she caught a short end of the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of like an afterthought on Raw right now. I know they're kind of, I don't even, like, they show her in the crowd or something. I guess she has a qualifying match for the chamber.
Next week. Yeah, next week. Which, let's bring that up real quick. The fuck is your IC champion doing in the chamber? Or qualifying for the chamber? Like, you should be setting up her own feud for that belt.
Yeah.
Which leads me to a hot take that I'm going to save for my solo episode when I go over my new Mania card this week. So, but I do have a hot take on that.
I don't think Lyra's making it to the Mania card.
Yeah. That's it. I'll go ahead and just give the hot take and I'll explain it tomorrow. I've been saying for the last few weeks that I think Triple H will put both of the new mid-card titles on Mania to give them prestige. And I'm at the position right now. Lyra's gone. Because I had hopes that Becky was going to come back and that was going to be the feud. I don't think Becky comes back, personally. I think she recognizes acting is where she's at right now. I think she's filming a movie. She's going to be in the new Happy Gilmore movie as well. And I also just the family stuff. Her having a kid, I think, changed her perspective on her career. So I don't think she comes back. And that's for any company. So, James, get it out of your mind that Becky Lynch is showing up at AEW because it's not happening. But so, yeah, I don't think Lyra's on the card. And my hotter take is I don't know if Chelsea Green versus Piper Niven screams Mania enough to put with all these other big names to make the WrestleMania card. It'll probably be WrestleMania Friday on that SmackDown that match happens. So my hot take is after weeks of trying to convince you all that both will be on Mania, I don't think neither will be on Mania. I just think there's too many names that are bigger right now than those titles to get on the card. So my MVP, it's Jey Uso is the MVP of the week. If you weren't convinced of Jey Uso being a main event player, you are now, or you should be now. He is over. I don't think, just like Kofi Mania, the title run was mid. Just like the Yes Movement, the title reign was kind of mid. But it is about the moment. It is what Nerdy D said, the 70,000 that yeeted all over Indianapolis after that moment happened. And
they couldn't get a lift home or Uber home.
Right.
You saw that?
Yeah. How many ever thought the 70,000 that's going to be at Mania when he wins the title? That is the reason you do this. The kids, I don't know if you saw that video going around of that. That little boy who
I saw a lot of videos of people of yeah, kids at home
of kids just you know seeing the guy that they cheer for win Rumble and you know crying and breaking down, and that's what Jey Uso won for.
I saw a hell of a video. I saw kids crying and being happy because yeah. Jey won, and I saw grown men crying because John Cena lost.
It's John Cena lost, yeah. And so Jey Uso definitely changed my opinion on it. I'm happy he won. You mentioned like someone that's sort of like your non-MVP. This isn't really necessarily that. I will say this. I understand the hatred for Nikki Bella showing up. I do. I'm happy with it, and I know I just try to defend her. But if she's not on this Mania card and a feud that makes sense, I don't understand what the fuck you brought her back for. And I don't even... So that is what my non-MVP is some of Triple H's booking decisions are really questionable. Like, where are we going with Nikki Bella? She didn't tell a story in the match.
Probably just friendship stuff. She's probably just a legend appearance.
Right, which is fine. But I don't know. There's a lot of the card that, you know, some questionable things. Like, where the fuck was Solo Sikoa?
Yeah, I don't know.
That was the most questionable decision to me. Why was Joe Hendry not utilized better?
I think Joe Hendry should have came out at number two.
I agree. I agree.
I think Chad Gable should have been one. Joe Hendry should have been two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I mind the Rey Mysterio and Penta thing. They made Penta like one of the Iron Man things.
Well, the thing with Penta at two is you save yourself from the potential of, oh, did both feet just hit? If he's not number two. If he comes out at like number five and the camera's not focused on that part, you can just sort of brush it away.
Mm.
But because it's just them in the ring, they're watching everything that happens. I also think you had to expect that this was probably the first time he was in a battle royal of this caliber.
Mm.
And there was probably going to be some nervous energy there. I don't get why you would put him in that position. Just honestly. But so it's just some of those smaller booking decisions. So moving from that, to move to some of these questions. So B-Master asked two, and the most important is the one we've had this dropped on us like last Thursday. We've had some time to think on this one from Witters. But B-Master wants to know, why does it seem like nobody wants to go after Cody Rhodes? It seems like he's being protected. You have an answer to that?
I feel like everybody's calling out Cody Rhodes. I feel like the only person calling out Gunther is Jay. I feel like CM Punk's saying I'm coming for Cody. Seth Rollins is coming for Cody. The only reason he says he's going for Gunther is Gunther was in the ring with him. But I feel like everybody's trying to call out Cody.
Yeah.
I think that it's just a problem that on SmackDown, there's not a quality enough heel that he hasn't beaten yet.
Right. So that's my answer as well. It's the issue with Cody Rhodes is he's on a brand right now that for the last 5 years have been focused on building two people, Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. And once Cody won the title, you took Roman out of that equation and they didn't fill that gap. There's not a believable heel. Kevin Owens is close, but Kevin Owens just sort of is in the position he's always in. That guy that's main event level, but not quite championship material. And so
two of their top heels are in a failing tag team.
And right.
Waller and Theory.
And they just got moved to Raw.
Yeah.
So
and for some reason they're gonna be in a program with Otis and Tozawa.
Well, that or they're literally going for the NXT World Championship at Vengeance Day.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going
on. It's the booking of the heels, right? So they did a very good job booking Roman as a heel and building up his baby face. But what happens is you gotta replace that cycle. So when the baby face gets the championship, you have to build the next heel. And they didn't do that. I think they're going to. It's not necessary. I don't think it's officially been announced, but I think on Friday, Nick Aldis will announce, like, before the transfer portal closed at Royal Rumble, we made a big acquisition, and Drew McIntyre is now SmackDown.
Yeah.
I think that'll happen. And I think once we get past the assumed McIntyre-Priest feud at Mania, that McIntyre will go and be that next big heel.
I gotta look and see what these new rosters are after SmackDown this Friday.
Yeah.
Because they definitely could have put a few more heels over on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then his second question, why does it seem like Mustafa Ali is just jumping on the bandwagon by going back to TNA? I had to ask what he meant by it. I guess he sees him re-signing with TNA as sort of jumping on the bandwagon. I don't quite see it that way. I think there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that has happened since Mustafa Ali didn't re-sign. So first off, I think it's important to know that he just didn't re-sign. And I think he wanted to test the AEW waters that didn't come. And so in that time period between that, the people who ran the – so Scott D'Amore used to run the company, and then he left. And I think that there was a lot of people who – you chose sides. He was a very controversial guy backstage, apparently, where you either liked them or you didn't. And so I'm assuming probably that's why Mustafa wasn't there, because he really wasn't being utilized by him. And so I'm assuming now with, like, maybe the NXT deal has something to do with it. I don't necessarily see it as a negative. I don't really think it's jumping on the bandwagon. I just think it's him recognizing this is the best place for him to be. We see it all the time with wrestlers who leave come back a year later. So you got anything to add to that?
No, I wasn't really too familiar with the TNA situation with when he left and when he resigned. I don't have much to add to the Mustafa Ali thing over there.
I don't really think his character
is the best over there.
I mean, yeah, like the character the political is
gimmick or president gimmick. I think it's kind
of stupid. It's not a good gimmick. And I also think a lot of it has to do with it still allows him to run some of the independent scene. And still have a prominent spot on a top company. I don't know. I don't necessarily think he's as good as he thinks he is. He's another one of those that thinks he's better than he really is.
Someone who needs to test the TNA waters is Apollo Crews.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so the final question here is from Witters. He says, you're at a barbecue smokehouse. So the first thing we need to do is define barbecue. Because depending on the region you live in, there's different definitions. And so I got clarification from Witters. When he says barbecue, he's talking so people up north, they call, you know, when you go and you get all your family, you know, the family reunion and there's hamburgers and, and hot dogs and all of that. Some people call that the barbecue. Down south, we call that the cookout. And so
I feel like barbecue and cookout are pretty interchangeable. Barbecue dives into all this like brisket and
so smoking barbecue. Style. So the term barbecue is actually a style of cooking. It's actually a Hispanic style of cooking where it's slow cooking over indirect heat. So B-Master answered this question was like he wants like hamburgers and hot dogs, and that's not barbecue. That's cookout food because hamburgers are cooked over direct heat. And so it's quick cooking. Barbecue is low temperatures over indirect heat. So there's really not a lot of flame. You're really just getting cooked by the smoke.
Yeah, like the pig roasts.
And it is barbecue is actually a like a Hispanic word because they barbecue under the ground. Like they build pits and like bury their food. And so that's the terminology we're using here. He wants us to create our own platter consisting of 3 meats, 2 sides, 1 dessert. You get to go first. We're going to put a poll up in the Discord. So join the Discord, and we're going to see who y'all think are the best plate.
Oh, this is hard. All right. Because, like, there's, like, some fan favorite foods I can easily just, like, put on my plate. Mm-hmm. But what am I really trying to eat? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Give me a bacon cheeseburger, all right, with lettuce, ketchup, and mayo, and a little mustard, you know what I'm saying? Give me some red hot links, you know what I'm saying? Not the hot dogs, the hot links, you know what I'm saying? The Frank's red hot links, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not really a ribs guy. Like, I like ribs, but like, not like a ribs guy, you feel me? Yeah, I'm more of like a fried chicken than like a barbecue chicken guy. You see those TikToks where like that dude got the big drum of oil, and he puts like the wings on like a little crate thingy, and he cranks it, lowers it down. Ooh, that don't look good. So I have my burger, I have my red hot links. Well, yeah. I haven't had it yet, but it should be looking good as fuck. When they be like roasting the pig and shit. That's enough. I'll put some stuff I've had. I'll keep it fair. Stuff I've had. So the bacon cheeseburger, the red hot links, and give me some baby back ribs. maybe back ribs with some adobo seasoning and a layer of barbecue sauce on it. You know what I'm saying? Like a barbecue mixed with hot sauce kind of glaze. You know what I'm saying? And my sides, we got some baked mac and cheese. Like baked mac and cheese. And I need another side. Oh, so this is my Puerto Rican side. Give me the rice and beans.
Okay.
Rice and beans. And you know we got a biscuit. The biscuit is mandatory, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then for dessert, me personally, I'm a pumpkin pie man. I don't know if that's really like cookout though. You know, fuck it. For dessert, give me the little ice creams that come in the cup. You got the little paper lid on it, and you got peel the paper lid off.
And it comes with a little wood spoon.
Yeah, the little wood spoon.
Yeah, I feel that.
So the bacon cheeseburger, the red hot links, the bay back ribs with the adobo barbecue hot sauce mix. The baked mac and cheese, rice and beans with a biscuit, and then the ice cream that comes in the paper in the plastic cup with the paper lid.
So, I'm not going to say your plate bad because it is good. Here's where this gets unfair. You know, Wavy D's up there in Connecticut, and they're known for some good things up north. You know, bagels, pizza. But see, my state, North Carolina, we have an entire type of barbecue down here. Like, that's what we're known for.
Mm.
So, I think this is a little bit unfair because I'm about to just smoke the competition here.
Mm.
So, I love barbecue. That's my favorite food to eat. Mm. Like, if it wasn't so expensive, we have a place up the street called the Smoke Pit that's I would eat there every night, but it's like $30 a plate, and I'm not doing that every night. So, now I myself am a pulled pork person. So I can name you all there's four major regions in this country for barbecue. You got Texas barbecue, that's your beef, brisket, ribs, any like that. You got your St. Louis or Kansas City, your Midwest barbecue. They're more like the ribs, more spices.
Alligator.
That's Louisiana. and then you have North Carolina and then South Carolina because they differ. But both Carolinas are known for their pulled pork. That's all we eat over here is pig. We be roasting pig all the time. Mm. Smoking pig all the time. Pulled pork. If I had to just choose one meat, because the only thing I eat for barbecue is pulled pork. But since there's three, definitely the pulled pork. Now, the thing with the pulled pork is it depends on the sauce you put on it. And so that's where Carolina barbecue differs from the rest of the country.
Sweet baby Ray's.
See, while all of y'all are using that tomato-based sauce, North Carolina is down here. We have three different regions. We get complicated. So Western North Carolina is with you. They use tomato-based barbecue sauce. They're wrong. I'm just going to be honest. South Carolina, they use a mustard-based sauce. That's gross. They're also wrong. Eastern North Carolina is the only one that gets it right. And they use a vinegar-based sauce.
Mm.
It's vinegar and red chili flakes. That's all it is. Real simple. That shit... You put a little bit of, especially if you use apple cider vinegar or you use regular vinegar mixed with apple juice. That shit is delicious. And so pulled pork, I'm a ribs guy. I fucking love ribs. So pulled pork, ribs. And I guess it's the same as your like hot links, but I like smoked sausage. Mm. I'm not a smoked chicken person because I'm with you. If it's not fried, to me, chicken just gets dried out.
Yes.
And so pulled pork with the vinegar sauce, ribs. Now with the ribs and any like beef product, you have to use tomato based sauce because that's what like pork, pig goes better with vinegar. That's just my Anything beef, though, you need the tomato-based sauce. Sweet Baby Ray's definitely is the best barbecue sauce out there. And then the smoked sausage. Those are the three meats. I'm with you on the side. It's got to be the baked mac and cheese. It's got to be baked. Don't do that fucking Kraft shit.
Yeah.
It's got to be baked. You got to make your own cheese sauce.
Hand-shredded cheese.
Hand-shredded cheese. I don't care what cheese it is. You can get fancy if you want. I mean,
so throw a little cream cheese in that bitch.
Yeah. I saw someone put sour cream in it the other day.
Yeah, well, I've had like that before. It's good.
I don't know how I feel about it, but I might try it. It's good. Now, my second side probably is a Southern thing. You're probably going to be like, what the fuck? It's coleslaw.
I'm not huge on coleslaw. Right. My family likes it. I'm not huge
It's a Southern thing. If you get a plate in North Carolina of barbecue, you probably don't get a choice in your sides. You're going to get coleslaw, without a doubt. Pulled pork and coleslaw. I'm with you. You have to have some sort of bread.
Yeah, honey butter biscuit.
Yeah. Down south, we do cornbread. I'm not a cornbread fan, though. I'm just going to be honest with you. Unless, because a lot of these motherfuckers don't know how to cook it, and they dry it the fuck out.
Yeah, it got to be moist.
So, I'm a biscuit person. If you've ever had Cracker Barrel, I don't even know if they have them up north.
Yeah, they do.
They do. Got some. Their fucking cornbread is always dry. Dry as like drier than a Popeye's biscuit. Always dry. And so when they're like, you want cornbread or biscuits? I look at them like, just give me fucking biscuits. I don't want no fucking cornbread from you guys. Oh. And then my dessert. My favorite thing on the planet is this dessert right here. It's banana pudding.
I thought I was about to say peach cobbler.
No, I fucking hate peaches. Fucking. I'm going to be honest with you. I hate pie in general. Fucking hate it.
I love pie. I love pie. Some key lime pie.
I'm not really a dessert person. I like ice cream and banana pudding. And I don't know. Okay.
I do like the colder desserts. I like ice cream. Yeah.
Go to fucking Food Lion. I know you got them up there because their headquarters is up north. Go to Food Lion or Giant Foods are the same company now. I don't know if Giant has the banana pudding in the deli, though. Food Lion is the best I've ever had. Don't get the parfait. It's got to be like the big container. It's like $4. Holy shit. That shit will, as Wade Barrett says, it made his loins wet. but yeah, so that's my plan. We're gonna put that we're gonna put a little poll in the Discord. You gotta watch the episode though to know what we're talking about.
Honorable mention to the fried catfish.
Catfish is good. I'm not gonna be the one catching that shit though, because that's a pain in the ass.
Oh, not facts. honorable mention to the fried onion rings.
They gotta be fresh. I'm not a big onion fan to begin with. Same. So you gotta like coat them motherfuckers in batter. I can't taste the onion or else I'll fucking throw them away.
Oh, I got a question for you, a Discord question for you. Okay. So, is the art and the appreciation for tag team wrestling dying in modern wrestling today?
I think so. I think, because even for me, like, I'm not a huge tag team fan. I think a lot of it has to do with if you are like me and you only really grew up with WWE outside of, like, the beginning of the Attitude Era or the end of the Attitude Era, beginning of, like, the Ruthless Aggression Era. They showed some appreciation there, but, like, they really haven't. Like, for me, growing up, the Hardys, Edge and Christian were big, but we really didn't have a lot of, you know, since I've started watching again in 2014, like, outside of the Usos and New Day, Vince didn't really care about tag teams. And so he just threw people together randomly, and they're still doing that to these days, especially in the women's tag division.
Even across the promotions.
Yeah.
Outside of Axiom, Forever Fraxium.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like AEW is currently slacking with their tag team division. TNA, they don't have any name power with their tag teams.
Yeah.
Outside of Rascals, but that's because Rascals was appearing on NXT a little bit.
I think the system, but that's faction wrestling, and I don't consider that tag team because – and then when you really look at the two guys that wrestle, it's Brian Myers and Eddie Edwards. It's not really name recognition. Mm. I think Moose definitely carries that group. I think tag team wrestling was a really big thing in the 80s. And I think over time, people wanted more high-flying type movesets and not the slow, methodical, like, smart in-ring stuff. Mm. You know, like the old school, like, four horsemen type wrestling where you might have a 20-minute match and, like, seven things happen. Mm. And it's just more slow and methodical. Like, tag team wrestling is an art, and I think a lot of it, though, is the fans, but I don't think a lot of wrestlers want to be in tag teams anymore. I think they want that single shine. And there's almost sort of a stigma that if you're a tag team lifer, you're not a superstar, which I think is wrong. I do think that there are people who are tag team lifers that are top of the card type people. I do think the fans and the wrestlers themselves and the promoters are sort of losing the art of how to make actual tag teams.
Do you think it's because fans and wrestlers are always looking at each tag team and trying to say which one's the Shawn Michaels, which one's the Marty Jannetty?
Instead of
appreciating them as a whole?
In a way, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Actually, I got a question. This is not like – this is just general knowledge type shit. Me and Cody were doing a quiz earlier today, and it made me look something up. Do you know who's been in the most Andre the Giant Battle Royal matches?
If I were to take a guess –
I'll give you three guesses.
Xavier Woods?
Mm-mm.
It's probably not Braun Strowman because he spent a little bit of time away from the company. I'm assuming it's a wrestler who probably hasn't been released, who's kind of been there the whole time.
He's no longer with the company.
No longer with the company. And yeah, he's been the most Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royals. Not Mustafa Ali.
Nope. One more guess. I'll give you one more clue. This should give it to you. He's got kids.
Oh, Heath Slater?
Yep.
Heath Slater's been the most Andre the Giant Royal Battle Royals.
He's been in six of them.
They've had that many?
Yeah. So I think it was like 17, 18, 19, or 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. They missed it. He was in 21. And 22, and then he got released.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I would say Heath Slater gave me like 15 guesses, I probably wouldn't get there.
Yeah. I mean, when you think of Andre the Giant, you think of big guys, and then you look at Cesaro and Matt Hardy has fucking won it. So.
Oh yeah, Matt Hardy has won it. That's when he came back with the Delete gimmick, right?
Yeah, when him and Bray Wyatt were tag team. Like a random fucking tag team.
Yeah, that's what I wasn't really watching WWE.
Yeah. All right. So we'll end this with Thirsty Tuesday. So last week's results, let's pull them up. All right. So we have a sweep here with Jordynne Grace beating Xia Brookside, as expected.
Not a sweep, but. Almost.
Pretty much. Domination. Same thing kind of for the next. This is kind of surprising, but not really. Maxine Dupri beats Jade Cargill.
I think that one was just a matchup issue for Jade.
Yeah. Harley Cameron beats Chris Statlander.
Surprising.
And Sol Ruka beats Carmen Petrovic. So this week, to round out the first round, representing NXT, we have Stephanie Vaquer versus Jada Parker. I think that was going to be pretty easy to know who's winning that one.
I don't know. That one might be close to a tie.
The TNA one, y'all are probably going to have to look these two up. So we got Steph DeLander versus their ring announcer slash commentator for their YouTube show, TNA Explosion, Gia Miller. Y'all got to look up Gia. Gia should win this one, hands down. Go look up Gia Miller. Representing main roster WWE, you got Liv Morgan versus Tiffany Stratton. That one's going to be fucking close. And then representing AEW, you got Mariah May versus Miss MJF, Tits McGee, Alicia Tout. And that's MJF's nickname for her, so don't think I came up with that. But Alicia Atout or Tout, she's Canadian. I don't know how the fuck you say it. So those are the four matchups. As always, we end this with Wavy D's final thoughts. So fill us in on what you got to end us with, and I'm going to post these things in the Discord.
All right. So, you know, this week on Wavy D's Quest for Love, you know what I'm saying? We're making some progress, guys. We're making progress. You got a lot of matches. You know, a lot of women are just, you know, bots or OnlyFans models trying to get a quick lick. Some of them are nice women who just live too far away. Some are nice women who just have too many kids. You know what I'm saying? You know, well, I found one who lives in the same state, a little far away, maybe like 45, 50 minute ride. Not too bad. A little 50 minute hour drive. But this Sunday, we're going to go on a little date. You know what I'm saying? Real axe throwing, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
She's also an Eagles fan. Go Birds. The Sunday Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying? So, real axe throwing, you know, in the afternoon. And then we're going to part ways, watch Super Bowls on our own. But, you know, Wavy's Quest for Love is taking a good turn. And I'll fill you in on how the date goes next week.
All right. Well, that's a good thing there for Mr. Wavy D here. Thank you all for watching. Let us know what you think. Like, share, subscribe. Join the Discord. Link's in the description. And until the next episode, we will see y'all later.
So hit that subscribe. Come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.